This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everyone, you're listening to the To Hull and Back podcast starring me, Nathaniel Witto, and tonight we've got Will and Ant, and we are proudly sponsored by Old Zoological Bar. So how are you two guys doing? Because we were discussing this before the show started. There's not a lot to talk about, but we do have a win to talk about, so you two must be quite chuffed with that.
Great, Willers.
I'm delighted because you managed to do an intro and not mess it up.
I thought I was going to. But it's gone beautifully so far. And what went beautifully was the match on Saturday. We have been doing a lot of discussion before this started about it being a bit of a dull game. We only had the two shots. One was a penalty, the goal from Ozan Tufan, and the other was a block shot from McLaughlin from about 35, 30 yards, something like that. So it wasn't the most exciting game, but 3 points against a promotion-chasing side who aren't anymore because we've prevented them from getting into the playoffs, and we'll be hoping to do the same against Swansea on Saturday. But Ant, I'll go to you first. You said you were at the game. Give us your general thoughts on this snorefest.
It was just an end-of-season game, wasn't it? We didn't have anything to play for. Watford were in bad form. It showed. It's just, you know, it was one of those where it was two poor attacking teams facing each other. And despite us not really looking like we were ever really under threat from Watford, we also didn't look like, barring the penalty, we were ever going to score either. So it was just one of those games, wasn't it, where at least we got another clean sheet and another win. You know, that's made it 7 clean sheets in 8 home games, which is just, you know, at this level especially, I think is quite, you know, amazing. Only conceding obviously to Burnley, who were the champions. So I'm happy for Ozan more than anything. I think that was probably the highlight of the game. The fact, I mean, it was destined he was going to score, wasn't it, really? You know, the goal was made in a really clever way. It's glad that, you know, Harry Vaughan got to make his home debut, and I thought he played quite well. And he looks, every time he plays, he looks the same. You know, he's very direct, very confident, and very exciting. I'm hoping he has a part to play next season. But yeah, it was just an end of season game, wasn't it, really? Like we've had basically for 4 or 5 weeks now where the games really haven't meant anything, and it's more or less just, you know, we're coasting through the games, but at least we're not losing them. So that's the positive I can take from it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, would you say that it's, you know, less of a dull thing because it shows an extra side to our game that we can sort of tough it out and grind out a win if need be?
Go on, Will.
All right. I've enjoyed the last few games. I know it's easy to say they don't because there's nothing to play for. But defensively, I thought it's been really enjoyable to watch, and it's been enjoyable to watch players like Harry Vaughan come into the side and rinse players who are apparently of high calibre, but they're not really. It's nice watching players like Elder and Coyle have ones like Ismail Assar in their back pocket. And it's nice, lovely Schadenfreude watching Ozan coolly slot that penalty against the team that Dan Gosling plays for.
Doesn't play for us.
Well, no, he's injured. Yeah.
No, he had his contract terminated.
Oh, they've actually got rid of it. Oh, well, that's even funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, that one player's outlasted the other in the Championship. For people who don't know, I'm sure most people do, but Dan Gosling, the Watford player, was going on and on about how Tufan, among other Watford players, their commitment and attitude wasn't good enough, even though I think Tufan played more games than Gosling last season in the Premier League. And yeah, I mean, well, let's use this opportunity to assess Ozan Tufan and his season. Later, we are going to have an end of season one, and we'll probably rate every single player, perhaps. But of course, you've been associated with Tufan because you definitely look exactly the same. How would you rate Tufan's first season in the Championship? Because he is the second top goal scorer, so it's been pretty decent, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's more impressive given the fact, I mean, I was having this discussion with some Watford fans on Twitter because I tried to poke a bit of fun at him, obviously, with those on scoring. But the fact he's our second highest top scorer, and he's started 15 of the games this season on the bench, and he's only started 25, I believe. So, you know, he's sort of been in and out of the side, which makes it more impressive. And yeah, all right, he scored, you know, a few penalties, but at the end of the day, you've still got to put them away, aren't you? And he's shown signs of improvement, I think, especially under Rosini. I think under Avaladze, he looked like on the ball, he was always going to be a threat, but maybe defensively had a bit, you know, a lot to be desired. Whereas under Rosini, he's showing us a side of the game that a lot of people, especially Watford fans, criticised him for, saying, you know, he's lazy and he wouldn't track back and he wouldn't do this and that. But he has been doing, and I think he's been running his socks off every time he's played under Rosini. I think the false nine position probably suits him more than the midfield one. You know, whether or not that's going to change for him next season, because I doubt, obviously, we'll be playing with that system next season, because we should have fit strikers, hopefully. You know, so his position in the squad might, you know, still change. But every time he's played, he's looked, you know, he looks threatening on the ball. He looks like he can create stuff. And I think if you put him in a midfield with Seri and Adama Traore next season, and they're all firing and they're all fully fit, I think that's a midfield that worries a lot of teams, and, you know, would create a lot of goals for strikers. And as he's shown this season, score a lot of goals. So, yeah, he's impressed me. I'd like to see him, you know, really kick on next season. I doubt he's going in summer. I don't know if that's got any credibility. I think he'll still be here. Rosinha really rates him. The owner loves him. And I think he loves it here. So, hopefully he has another good season and maybe gets double figures. I mean, he's still got a chance to get double figures this season, but probably not. But next season, I think, you know, him and Adama could be our you know, creative outlets for you know, whoever's up front for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's his highest goal-scoring season ever in his career, so if you rate it like that. Of course, it's not his first year in England, but it's the first season where he's actually played a lot of games and, you know, in this tough Championship. And it has taken a bit of time to deal with the sort of physicality that you need. But yeah, I think he's done very well. But he came in for a few million pounds, even though he's had a good season. Has he lived up to the quite big hype?
I would say yes, because I personally was looking at a mid-table season anyway, coming into it. So for me, I thought, yeah, I'm happy with it. Yeah, obviously, he started the season really promising going forward, and then there was that lull in the middle of the season. Obviously, in January, there was a lot of rumours about him going to Besiktas, but I'm glad that he said no, he wants to stay here, wants to prove his worth here, and the way that Rosinha's got the team, not just him, but obviously the team as a whole playing, has really, I think that's the thing, is his work rate is the thing that's, because everyone coming in, before, oh, he's going to be a lazy player, and he's not really. It can be at times, but for the most part, he's running all over the pitch.
Yeah, I think he's probably more of a box-to-box midfielder than perhaps a number 10. I know false nine's, you know, more attacking. He's done well there, but I'm pretty sure that when he came in, maybe Traore is more the attacking player. Brad's asked, do you think Tufan was making a point by when he scored the goal? Usually former players don't celebrate, but he went over and made sure that he celebrated with the team. Is that, I mean, even if it's not a point, it definitely shows the sort of togetherness that you need to have when you're grinding out these wins against playoff teams like Millwall and Watford. So would any of you agree with that?
I like the fact that he turned his back on the Watford fans essentially by doing that.
Yeah, I would have preferred the Adebayor sprint over celebration. But
yeah. He did that article, yeah. Didn't he? Was it for Hull Live, where he said about how this squad is so much more together and he feels involved, yeah. And you know, people like Louis Coyle and Cal Melander just randomly come to his house and say, come on, we're off out for a coffee kind of thing. And whereas at Watford...
Yeah, he lives on the marina.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas at Watford, he never had that. And like, nobody was ever bothered. So, you know, especially at Watford, where I think he was only there for 6 months though, wasn't he? It
wasn't long.
Yeah, so...
Because he went back to Fenerbahce. Yeah.
Yeah, I think any player that's played for somebody on loan should be able to celebrate anyway, because it was never really their club, whether they were there temporarily. But he didn't really, because he ran more towards the coaching staff, didn't he? Which I think was more of a symbolic thing to say, these guys believe in me, whereas you didn't, obviously. But he's got the attitude where he's always seemed, even when he scores goals, he doesn't go over the top with it, does he? He seems very, he's a humble player, where, you know, that's the best thing is that he's enjoying his time here, and it sounds like that the rest of the team like him and want him to stay here too, as per the effort that they're showing off the pitch. So that's probably helped with his form under Rosinha going forwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Harry's asked, where do you think we need to strengthen in the summer? Because we've got another clean sheet, our defensive pairing of either Greaves and McLaughlin and Jones, or Greaves and Jones, any of those are pretty good. And we were talking about how good our midfield is. So I guess the fact we haven't got any strikers means we're probably going to need to strengthen up front. I mean, I suppose if Connolly and Oscar came back, then you'd probably thinking, especially with Darlow in goal, that all the four sort of positions are covered. So why are we 15th? It's a bit confusing, isn't it?
It's because none of our players have been fit. I think realistically, like, left back is the priority.
We need at least another left back.
Cal Melder's done well since he's come in, and Jacob Greaves has done well when he's played in that position, but he's not a natural left back. You know, you want somebody who's going to be as effective as, you know, Cyrus Christie is going to be on the right hand side, and Cal Melder and Louis Coyle are more than able bodied replacements if we need them to be. I think they'll play maybe more of a squad role next season. Because I do think Christie is the first choice right back, and then obviously left back is just, you know, up in the air at the minute. So left back, I think, will be his priority. I don't think midfield really needs strengthening that much. If anything, you could probably add a couple of someone who's, you know, a Smallwood-esque midfielder for those tough physical games, for a tactical sort of switch. But and then forwards, it depends what we do with the strikers, isn't it? Because like we say, Connolly will play. I don't know if he'll play him as a winger like he has been doing, or through the middle. You've got Oscar and then Tete, whether or not they make a decision whether he stays or not because of his fitness. But you'd like to think that Tete, Connolly and Oscar are all here as our strikers next season, mm-hmm. because they've all offered something, you know, this season. Especially, I think the frustrating thing is with Tete is we've seen how good he can be, and then he either gets sent off or injured, and then we don't see him again for a while. So you've got to make a decision whether or not it's worth keeping him again for another year. And then Connolly, whether or not he comes back on a loan or permanent, I'd like to see him come here on a permanent basis.
I think Liam wants him.
Yeah, especially Brighton don't want him. The fans don't rate him, so it makes sense for him career-wise, wouldn't it, as well? And then, obviously, wingers were pretty much sorted out. I don't think Ebuwe will be here next season. It's a hard question to answer because you don't know which of the players are going to remain here. Like, your loanees, who's going to come back? I don't think Pelkas will come back. Ebuwe is an interesting one because it'll depend on, obviously, whether or not Rosinha's decided that he's worth bringing back for another year, whether he believes in him. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Left back is definitely priority, and maybe a striker.
Yeah, I'm thinking left back as well, and a winger, because I think wingers have been a problem position for us because pretty much everyone has played there and no one's really been able to, you know, bring down a spot. I mean, Vaughan's doing pretty well. Whether you want to rely on him for 46 games next year, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. Aliar is pretty good, so I think he's definitely one we'd have. But then Ebiway, Pelkas, you know, obviously I don't think Longman, but a lot of people would say that he's struggled as well. Cynic has gone back on loan, and some of the others have been injured for a long time. So I think a winger to go with Aliar on the other side, I think, and then left back, because I was very excited when we were linked to that Forest left back in January when he went to Anderlecht. And yeah, I think Eldrin and Coral are pretty good options, and Christie's
we've apparently been linked to Ryan Manning, but he's had a spectacular season, so I can't see him. I can see him going to someone, you know, either challenging promotion or a Premier League side. We could have done with him having an average season, maybe, and then finding this form next year. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see who we get for left back, because I do think that'll be the first thing he works on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know whether there are any, you know, left backs at Derby that maybe Rossini can get. I don't know, but we'd like to think we can go for solid championship players, because I think some of the best signings we've made.
He said he wants six players, didn't he? He said he's already identified them and he's already working on them because he wants them in early, so to get a pre-season. So I can imagine he's just trying to figure out where we could fit six players. If you take the lone players out of the equation, you know, you've probably got a couple of wingers, a striker, a left-back, centre-back maybe, goalkeeper hopefully. Probably. I mean, does that include or exclude Darlow, Connolly?
Yeah,
I'd like to see Darlow come here permanently too.
It all depends on who we get rid of as well. Like Cynic is probably on decent wages. Let's be honest, he's not going to play for us again, I don't think. So I think getting him out the door. And it depends whose contracts get renewed as well, because there's a few players there who were able to leave and we haven't activated their extensions yet. And he's wondering if they're going to do it or not.
I suppose players like Colin and Elder, maybe Doherty, who probably aren't actually even going to play very much if they do stay. Maybe they're thinking it would be better for their careers to maybe go to, you know, one of the teams lower down in the table or a newly promoted League One championship team that they can actually get game time at, because whether they're going to want to be second choice players for another year, not sure about that, especially, you know, maybe it's like a honeymoon situation where he doesn't think like he'd be able to get the game time. Is that too controversial to suggest?
I think Carl would happily do that because he kind of was for a bit anyway, and he's a good character to have around the club. And to be honest, when Elder's come into the team, he's been reliable for the most part. So I think it'd be stupid to let any of them go.
I probably agree with that, because you're not really going to get hugely better backup.
Exactly, you're not going to get better replacements.
No, there could be better first team players, but
Coral and Christie as playback options is perfect depth wise, and then Elder with behind
Elder needs someone
would be fine as well. You'd like to think, and then but Doc is an interesting one, because I think Doc for maybe his career would be best to find somewhere, but I also wouldn't mind him staying and being a squad player if he's happy to do that, because he does come on and work hard. So it's just you know what he wants to do as a player, but obviously Rossini will have these talks with these players in summer, won't he?
I mean, it probably depends on wages. Some of these backup players will be getting paid more than they would at Plymouth next season, potentially. So maybe that's something to consider. But speaking of players who are currently at, or perhaps going to be in League One, Timothy Lu-Tutala has kept another clean sheet for Stevenage. So we're on the Tutala watch.
Is he the new Ryan Longman? As in your new obsessive player?
Well, I'm obsessed with him. That's only because he's on the verge of being promoted to League One with Stevenage in League Two. He went there on an emergency loan. He's had 7 games, 2 clean sheets, average rating of something bang average. So he's doing relatively well. But potentially this time next week, we'll all be rejoicing as Lu-Tutala will be promoted against potentially another lonely Andy Smith, because Stevenage play Grimsby. So that's going to be an exciting game. So certainly look out for that one. A little bit of positive news on the injury front. We've got 2 players coming back. That's Alfie Jones and Ryan Longman, who I wasn't aware was even injured. He didn't play against Watford. Ebiway was on the bench instead. So doesn't even really feel like that's someone coming back. But Jones is coming in. does he go straight in? Because Greaves and McLaughlin have kept two clean sheets since Jones has been out, or maybe even more. So what do you think about that one?
I don't think you could... It's funny because, first of all, speaking of contracts, give Alfie Jones a new contract now. But speak on that as well. Can you justify dropping any of the players when they've had a clean sheet?
I could justify dropping like all the attacking players because we only had two shots. I'm not going to do that because we haven't got three fit attacking players to come in for them, so they have to play.
But we're talking about the defensive players.
Don't change your winning team, of course. But then I guess the other question is if Jones and McLaughlin, potentially, they've been the pairing for a lot of recently at centre-back. So are we going into next season with McLaughlin starting over Greaves if we are signing that new left-back?
It'll depend on what happens in summer and training-wise. Mm. The thing is, with the start of a new season, it's a clean slate for the whole squad, isn't it? So you've got no previous form to go off. Obviously, you've got last season's performances, but, you know, after however many weeks off, it's, you know, it doesn't really apply, does it? So you've got Greaves and McLaughlin and Jones that have all had, you know, fairly decent seasons. And Jones and McLaughlin were the usual back two and did absolutely amazing-wise. And then, unfortunately for Jones, he got injured. Greaves has stepped in and done just as well. So you know you've got to force your way into the squad with performances and training, which is something that sounds like the Rosinia does. You know, the whole reason that Vaughan's involved is because, you know, he really impressed him in training with his attitude, his application, and how he you know approaches, you know, training with the senior players. So it's up to the players. They've got to force the issue. They've got to prove to Rosinia that they're the ones that started unfair the first game. And if they do get that starting place, they've got to play well enough to keep it, you know. So it'd be an interesting one because I think we'll get a bit of transfer interest on Greaves. And I do think if we get a decent offer, he might go. But it does sound like he's been saying he wants to stay. So, you know, either way.
I think I'd sell him maybe if the offer was right because, he's not been as vital as the previous young players we've had. But I've said this many times before.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
If any player in that tight side is going to get a decent fee, it'll be Greaves.
Because he's young and English. Harry Rawdings asked, I feel like Seri could go in the summer.
Well, before that finishes...
Nah, he's already said he's staying, isn't he?
He said in the post-match press conference he was the man in it, and he said he said he was going to stay. So I won't worry about that for now until he suddenly disappears.
Yeah, maybe his wife will decide she does want to go to Italy after all, because that was the drama in the summer. Kieran said that maybe Ryan Woods would be gone in the summer. I think that's not... a terrible shout, especially now Simons is a permanent player.
He was a shot signing as well.
That's true.
And he's not really been used by Liam that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he just doesn't really fit our system. And
all defensive teams wanting them is the problem.
There's a lot of players like... Enship's talked about Darlow. He'll have a lot of suitors. And, we are in poor position to get him, I think. But he has played so well that maybe another team with more money would perhaps be able to get
If we can't get Darlow back on the free, you got to remember, Ingram has done no wrong this season either.
Yeah. I mean...
He's not as good as Darlow, but he's been decent all season.
Yeah, I think Ingram, even if you voted him player of the year, I don't even think that would be like extremely controversial, just very controversial perhaps, which says a lot about his performances. But yeah, Ensheps asked, who has everyone voted for player of the year? Because voting
is on
the website. Well, you're not saying. I've not voted. And have you
got anything Ryan Lomman, interesting
to say on this?
Yeah, I voted for Ryan.
Well, can
Lomman.
You do that?
No.
Do they just give you an option of everyone?
Yeah,
they have to play 15
just get
games.
The whole list of players, and you just choose which one you think is player of the year.
Ah, so no Vaughan then.
He said you have to win there.
Yeah, but and have you voted anyone?
Slater.
Regan Slater. Well, that's an interesting show.
I was going to do Macca, and when I ticked the McLaughlin box, I thought yeah, but Slater's done it all season, so. Rather than
Bromwoods. Yeah, I think he has done pretty well. So why is he the best player?
Win it and you'd be fine with. I think realistically, Regan Slater, Seri, McLaughlin, and I would suppose maybe Oscar for his goals, maybe.
I am
voted
for
any
of them.
Oh, come on, Will. Tell us. We need to, you know, kill the time.
You'll go for Christy, but you will.
No, I didn't go for Cyrus. As much as I love him.
Ogic. Well, can't vote Eves.
Well, obviously, can't vote Eves. I also voted for Tobias Figueiredo.
Yes, no, obviously.
No, let's try and work this out. So, not Seri.
Not
Oscar. Not Slater. Not Figueiredo. Not Longman. Well, but we're not going to go through the entire squad. Who's been good this year?
This is the argument I had for ages because no one gives any credit. It's Alfie fucking Jones. Sorry for swearing. I'm sick of it.
I'm very clever.
Stop the Alfie Jones erasure.
No, but Alfie Jones has been really well. I just think
no one says it.
If I was to choose between Macca and Jones, I'm choosing Macca, unfortunately.
Well, I'd vote. I think Ryan the Lomber. Player who no. I was gonna say I take it very seriously, but clearly not because I was going on about him. I don't know who I'd vote for. I think now that you've mentioned Slater, I hadn't been thinking about that, but he's been a very important player. He's played in a few positions, he's got a lot of goals and assists, but I think Slater's. Seri's the most pivotal player. No, that's true. I think Seri's so important to the way we play under Vecinia that we couldn't really do it without him because he's such a controlling player. And just quality-wise, like, you can just tell that he's got that touch that some players don't and the way he can go right round players. I think I'd probably vote for Seri, but maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know how long the voting stays open for, but I always think it should be after the season's done.
It should be until after the season.
Yeah, but they do that for everything, goal of the season. I remember a few years ago in the Premier League, they had a goal of the season video of all the contenders, and then they had to update it because Kluka scored that one against Watford. So it's just stupid, because what if he'd scored from the halfway line in the last match? That can't win. It's ridiculous.
They also happened in the Championship the last season under Bruce. They released it, and then I think the day after they did it, Robert Snodgrass got a free kick from like 30 yards against Wolverhampton in the last minute. And they just went, right, I'm just going to delete that one and we're going to put up a new one.
We scored a lot of good goals after that game as well. So that was a real waste.
Yeah, I was going to say, and obviously, even though it wasn't on because it wasn't on the vote, Diarmi versus Sheffield Wednesday wasn't in that goal of the season vote.
Well, of course.
Would have won it.
Yeah, I'd have voted that. Well, speaking of goals of the season, I haven't got a segue, so let's just move on to the Hull City versus Swansea match and preview that. Time for me to jinx it. Hull City have beaten Swansea at home in their last five competitive matches, and I think we've won six out of seven at home. Six of the seven last home games against Swansea have been wins, usually 2-0, and that's also in the League Cup and the FA Cup that we've beaten them in this recent run. Last year, it was the 2-0 win against Swansea that Shotter, that was his first match, and I went, and that was a lovely day. So could it be 2-0 again? Because that's the usual score against Swansea. They're in very good form. They've won Well, they're unbeaten in seven, and they've won six out of seven of the last few games. So they are in banging form. So it's going to be quite tough.
They've come from mid-table finish to playoff contenders in the last few weeks, so that they are on fire. And Russell Martin's not really had anything to spend either, so he's done well. But it's, you know, seven clean sheets in eight home games. You'd like to think that'd continue, and like to finish on an impressive run like that. We just don't have a lot of goals in us, do we? Is the problem. So, it's probably going to be a 0-0 or a 1-0, which it usually has been since Rosinha's taken over. But, you know, they're a side that still have something to play for, which means the game could have something about it, which is good. You don't want to be playing another mid-table side, do you? They've got a lot of good players, but we've got players that are playing for their places next season. So, I think it's another 20,000 plus crowd as well, isn't it? So, you know,
hopefully it'll be 21.
Yeah, so hopefully a lot of these fans will be encouraged to come back next season after seeing, you know, another win at home. I can see a 2-0 up. Yeah, I could back that.
Yeah, I don't know where the goals would be coming from, other than Longman, who's coming back into the team, I guess. You know, he's definitely due one. Harry said that a Liam Walsh disaster class is incoming. I mean, I have no idea why Swansea would play Liam Walsh, given that their, you know, starting 11's won six out of seven games. But, of course, last year he hit the post with that free kick.
For against his old club.
I guess. I mean, didn't he play like four games for us? I'm not really sure.
He played about 4 minutes for us.
I think he'll probably even have forgotten that he played for us, honestly. And I'll come back to the MKM.
Well, I've been the first Shotter game of last season was probably the best football we played all year.
Yeah.
And then the 3-0 defeat to Swansea this season was the worst style of football we played.
Well, that was the game that got Shotter sacked in the end, really.
When Figueiredo just sort of forgot
how to play football.
I still think that was a dive. I think he thought he'd been kicked by a Swansea player, but it was Baxter who came out. and then we conceded. Yeah, that was shocking.
That was this season. It feels like a different world.
When you said that, I thought that's not true. It really does feel worlds away.
It's like when you see that Antonio Conte and Thomas Tuchel having that bust up on the sideline. That was this season.
Mm. That was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Four managers each since.
Yeah. And of course, former Hull City player Ryan Mason.
Signing Ryan Mason.
Ooh, that's grim. That's grim. But hopefully we're going to have many more record signings under Ajun. Well, yeah, just that, you know, it was very unfortunate what happened to him. He hardly got to play, you know, in that season. So, I think it could be quite a tough game. Keeping Joel Perreault quiet is going to be perhaps the biggest thing. But we have got clean sheets against playoff chasing teams before. Now, it's the most exciting part of the podcast. If the picture will load, it's the combined lineup between Hull City and Swansea. So for listeners, I'll read it out. Got Carl Darlow in goal because I think the Swansea keeper has hardly played. He's got a low rating. Ryan Manning at left back. We've got Sean McLaughlin and Alfie Jones. And then the Swansea right back. I mean, that's just a lot of letters.
Say it.
Latibudier. Latty then. Surrey, Grimes and Incham in midfield. Ozan Tufan on the wing because he scored, he has to be in. Cullen, who's got 8 goals on the other wing for Swansea. And then, as I said, Joel Perreault up front, who is one of the best finishers in the Championship. He's had 2 brilliant seasons for them. So a few more Swansea players in this team than there were Watford players last week, because I think it's difficult not to put a whole Swansea 11 in because they've been in such good form recently. It is sort of based on recent form as well. So, thoughts?
Where's Harry Vaughan? Especially after that ridiculously filthy back heel that we skated over.
It was very filthy. It was very filthy. Well, he's an ageist when it comes to footballers. So if I was a manager, I wouldn't be playing any academy players, because you look at any, you know, if you look at transfer market, they've not played, so they can't be any good. That's my how my brain works. I wouldn't do well at Crystal Palace.
I think on recent form, you could probably stick Aliar in there.
He probably could, because his last few games, he's started getting back to what he was.
And he's scoring goals now, which was everyone's biggest criticism of him, starting to hit the back of the net. So,
yeah. But I had to have Cullen in, and I had to have Tufan in, and Pirro. So there's no room for them. I guess I could have put Aliar at right wing back.
Where was Longman?
Changed their formation. Longman's always on the bench, don't you worry. He's always on the imaginary bench that doesn't exist. It's just outside the frame. Who else is on the bench? Joe Allen. Always for every team, no matter whether we're playing Swansea or not. And Lotitala, of course. Yeah, that's the current bench.
I realised the other day, Nathaniel, Ryan Longman has scored less goals than two of our defenders.
Fewer. He's not started as many games as Greaves.
Longman's been pretty much ever present, whether or not it's off the bench all season, to be fair. And Cyrus Christie's been missing since God knows when, and he's still scored more than Longman.
I mean, to be fair, Greaves and Christie have scored more than Benteti as well.
Yeah, but Benteti's out of play.
And Pelkas. Still, and Senek, he's a striker. And Connolly.
Adama Traore's got more goal contributions than Longman. He only played a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but football's difficult. Football's difficult. So let him off. Let him off. He tries his best.
Disclaimer, though, I do think that on his day, Longman is good.
Yeah, I like Longman.
I like him when he plays on the right-hand side, because I think he's far better on his natural side, because he likes to run at the defender and get to the byline and put it in the box. It's just that he's, as is the problem with most of our attackers this season, the end product is just not there. It's easy to forget that Longman is still young. I would probably send him out on loan next season. I'd get a full season in like League One or something like that to find some form, because I don't think he's going to find his best form coming in off the bench every now and again, you know what I mean? So there's a player there, and we saw it, didn't we, under McCann, that first half of the season under McCann, there is a player there. It's just, where's he gone? It's the problem.
He actually
played better as a wing back than he has a winger.
Yeah, he did.
He was better left wing back than anywhere else, personally.
Yeah, cutting in. I think his first contribution to the team this season was that chance against Coventry, which he missed. I think if he scores, that gets the confidence for the rest of the season. Could have been a lot better, but
the one against Huddersfield.
Yeah, that was another big one. I was there. That was not fun watching that in person. I just wish he'd scored that one against Millwall a few weeks ago, which, you know, he curled just wide.
He's a very nearly player. Nearly.
Yeah. But, yeah, there is a player in there. And I guess I'll have learnt a lot from the many mistakes he's made. That's what you do, isn't it? You know, mistakes make you stronger. So, yeah, last thing to do, official match predictions for the Swansea game, as we try and ruin their playoff chances, which I have nothing against Swansea, but that'd be quite fun to do.
I mean, it requires a lot of results going their way as well, their playoff chances.
Yeah, even if they win two games, it's very difficult.
There's so many teams in that playoff race.
But that's, yeah,
the way it's going, I don't think anyone's going to get in the playoffs.
Specific results to go in a specific way, and it's just a crazy season.
I don't think this is going to be a very crazy game. Swans have been pretty good, difficult to beat, as are we. So 0-0 again.
That's probably an accurate one. They're also a possession-based team, aren't they? So it'd be interesting to see, obviously, that battle of holding the ball. It'll be whichever team, you know, has the better shape off the ball that probably goes on to win the game. I think our press is good at the minute. I like our team shape when we've not got the ball. I think we force teams into hitting it long, which obviously Swansea won't want to do. But yeah, it's just impossible to ignore our recent run of results. So I'm going to go 1-0 to us, because that's the safest.
Lovely.
Barring a 0-0, that's the safest guess you can do.
Yeah. And Will, is it going to be another 3-0 win?
It has to be, because I have to keep predicting it until it happens.
But you'll be going into long into next year.
This will be it. Final home game.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. It's going to happen at least either against Luton or on the opening day?
I mean, I doubt we're going to beat Luton 3-0.
Well, they'll be resting all their players ready for their imminent promotion.
Yeah, I mean, again, where did you two predict City to finish this year? Are you close to getting predictions
right? I don't want to sound like... I think I did say around 15th.
Were you allowed to say that if you did?
We'll have to watch the episode, weren't we?
I'm going to have to look back. I probably said 21st now I've said that.
I think a season review episode is going to be very fun for everyone involved. I think I actually said something like 12. I think I'm not too far off.
I said
11th.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we probably would be 11th if we had Rosinia just even a few games ago. I mean, you could say teams would be anywhere if this happened. So I predicted Luton to be in the playoffs and everyone else thought that was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they are.
I thought they'd fall off. I didn't think they'd replicate last season. Especially
not looking like a Wally now.
Everyone's left. I thought they'd struggle to replace him, but Rob Edwards has gone in and done just as well, hasn't he? So,
yeah.
Well, them all there, I want them to go up.
I want something to do with their stadium, though. They're not big enough or something.
I mean, just you have to go out of the garden to get into the away end.
Yeah, but that's cool. Yeah. That would be funny to be as a Premier League stadium, but I don't know what the minimum, because most leagues have like a minimum stadium thing, don't they?
I think they're fine.
Well, is it going to be that much smaller than Bournemouth Stadium?
I think it's bigger than Bournemouth. It was when they got promoted anyway.
Well, should be absolutely fine then. But yeah, that would just be that'd be kind of cool, I guess. They'd get pummeled, definitely. But isn't their record signing like 12 quid? So they'd have to spend a little bit more.
Means nothing.
Than that. No, clearly not. They've done
everyone thought we'd get battered the first year we went up. I know we did for the second half of the season, but for the first half we did okay.
Well, we stayed
Huddersfield. Huddersfield, the first season they went up.
Wasn't our second or third game in that season? We lost 5-0 at home to Wigan. So I guess that was a battering. And then they got
that
out.
That was the final in Wayne Brown's Hull City career. the Amir Zaki hat trick.
Yeah, and of course we signed Zaki and then he was absolutely terrible.
Which tends to happen. Strikers are good at other teams and they come to us and they just kind of forget how to score goals.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, if they are signing for Premier League Hull City, then they're not, their career can't be going that well, really. You know, we were never the top. I mean, if it's like strikers, because we'd get them, you know, off someone else.
Long in the elevator.
Especially with what was happening with other than them, but even so, they were sort of rejects from their clubs. Well, I'm just saying, with what was happening with the Alams there, we were not the top of the list for places to go, were we? So, yeah, that's not that wrong, right?
How dare you besmirch Damian Doyle and Umanias? How dare
you?
Oh,
man. Oh, I love them. They were great. They were great. I mean,
we have had some stinkers though in the past, don't we?
Jersey they didn't keep us up.
Camel Gila.
Also, do not dismatch Manucho.
Yes, he kept us up.
Man kept us up.
I guess. Of course, you could argue that they would have been safer if he'd scored more goals. So it is also
this logic.
No, you can't apply logic to Manucho.
You weren't even born when we were first in the Prem. We and Nathaniel.
No, I wasn't born. I wasn't born, to be fair. Well, is that everything then? So we got a 1-0, a 0-0, and a 3-0, which doesn't really count. So
it does count.
It does count. Well, look, when it happens and Longman gets his hat trick, then you'll look very clever. So hopefully that happens. So yeah, thanks again for everyone who's commented and left a like and interacted with us on social media and all that stuff, and listened and commented today. We hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll be back again next week after hopefully a fantastic...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.